Let's start the series this morning. Find your Bibles. Go to Joshua chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, and then we'll go to Acts chapter number 4, verse 12, and then we'll travel from there. If this is your first time, breaking news, we stand for the reading of God's word. If this isn't your first time, reminder, we still stand for the reading of God's word. Joshua chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, then we'll go to Acts chapter number 4, verse 12. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Joshua chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, it says, "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear." Next verse. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, that thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." And everybody said, "Amen." Oh, I can hear everybody said, "Amen." Acts chapter number 4, verse 12. We'll read that one in concert at the count of three. One, two, three, go. So salvation is not in any other man, any other person. It's given through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. You don't get saved by being in church. You get saved by accepting Jesus. When you accept Jesus, being in church is really important. We want to talk about soteria and all the benefits of God's grace and the message of salvation. Glory to God. Bow your head for a word of prayer. Supernatural Father, we thank you. We give you praise for the anointing to teach and preach. We thank you for understanding is in this room. Thank you because we live knowing that we are saved and safe in the name of Jesus. And we are locked up in Christ in the hollow of your hands, where no power of darkness can do us harm. In Jesus' name, send the anointed and makes teaching and preaching easy. Open up our eyes to see Jesus. Give me nimbleness of mind and eyes. I thought, give your people understanding as you give me utterance. Let your name be glorified, your people edified, the devils terrified. As Jesus is revealed, we are unveiled. In Jesus' matchless name, and everybody said, "Amen." Tell your neighbor, "I'm saved and safe." One more time, say, "Neighbor, I'm saved. I'm not that guy anymore." Glory to God. Come on, I say glory to God. Let me start this morning by saying salvation is not a reward for the righteous. Salvation is a gift for the guilty. Salvation is not a reward for the righteous. Salvation is a gift for the guilty. You see, that salvation is not what you are rewarded with when you become righteous. Rather, salvation is a gift to the guilty. That means we were all condemned, we're guilty, but it is salvation that saved us out of that condemnation. Are you listening to me? It's salvation. The grace of God saved us out of condemnation. It is not a gift or a reward for the righteous. It is a gift for the guilty. For the Bible says, all have sinned. So we all miss the mark. But salvation, the saving grace of God, came to bail us out. All, not some of us, all missed the mark. All of us missed the mark. Not some of us. Nobody was born righteous. We all missed the mark. But the power of salvation is salvation came and delivered us from that guilt, condemnation, bondage. To understand properly the doctrine and the teaching of salvation, listen to me, the student must remove his ideas and his effort from it. I'm going to say that again. To understand the teaching of salvation, you and I as the student must remove our ideas and our effort from it. I'm going to say that again. To understand, to comprehend the accurately understand the message of salvation, you and I, who are students of salvation, must remove our ideas, our impute, and our effort from it. Because salvation was never our intention. It was not our product. It was not our idea. So it was not man who thought of salvation. So man should not bring their thought into the salvation plan. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? So I didn't think of making iPhone. I've never thought of that. I'm telling you. So to take the iPhone and say, you know, they should have done it like this. No, this is how they did it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't like this. The camera should have been on that. The speaker should have been there. You want to... So you just create your own. Then it no longer becomes iPhone. Does it make sense to you? So when you approach the message of salvation, the doctrine of salvation, the teaching of salvation, remove your ideas and your effort. The biggest problem with the wrong teaching of salvation in our country is that the pastors and the preachers have sprinkled their ideas and their thoughts, and they've given birth to what we call ICGCs or incGCs and not exegesis. That means when they thought of salvation, they now said, okay, but we must do something here. So they brought their own contribution to it because it was too good to be true news. And I can understand why Nigerians will have a problem with the salvation message, because the things we pay for, we struggle to get. That is a mindset. The things you pay for, you have to demand for what you pay. Who knows what I'm talking about? Then I'm now telling you that this one, you did not pay for it and it's free. And it's better than anything you have ever paid for. Does it make sense to you? So it's tough for us. I understand that. I'm not sure the Western world will understand that. We struggle for everything we pay for. You pay for the rent. You struggle for the landlord to keep his side of the bargain. You ask the tailor to sew you something. When they deliver it to you, you are shocked of what they've brought to you. You buy, name it, anything. You have to follow up. You have to visit them with a straight face, or maybe go with security sometimes just to make them know that you can't mess with me. You know what I'm talking about. So when you have been built with a mindset, a lifestyle, where you have to struggle to get dividends of what you should enjoy naturally, when we preach salvation to you, it is difficult to grasp. It's difficult to comprehend. Because we're now saying you don't have to do anything. Believe in what Christ has done. No. How? No. Believe in what Christ has done. Are you serious? When the ones that I paid for, he turned to fight. Then Jesus. Mm-mm. What shall I do to be saved? That's when Nicodemus comes in. What shall I do? No. So when we keep preaching, guess what religious people are waiting? And so what of us? What do we have to... That's what I'm saying, to understand salvation first, foundation. Remove your ideas, your contribution, and your effort from the matter. Because you didn't originate it. You didn't start it. I don't know why you think you can assist it. It was no. So that's what Apostle Paul, I think he was angry in Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Why do you think something that God started, you can finish it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you a clear example. It's the richest man in Africa, Dangote. He starts a refinery and your gate man says, sir, get off the way, I'll finish it. Your gate man's salary in his lifetime times 20 with his generation cannot scratch the bill for a week. So that's how you and I behave. When we say salvation, don't worry, I got this. You got nothing. You got, when it comes to salvation, you got nothing. That's why Paul is saying, are you crazy? Do you know what you're talking about? Are you besides yourself? How do you think this madness, where did this madness come from? He now says, how do you think that you began in the spirit and you want to perfect it in the flesh? Like, do you understand? This thing that only spirit did. You said, no, you want to do it in the flesh. Are you okay? That's the message of salvation. So the first rule to understand salvation is remove what? Your ideas, your contributions, and your effort. Your recipe. Let me just... No. It's that. When we understand this, I think it's better for us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just to know that this thing is not my idea. I am learning the idea. I think for Africans, alignment is a problem. To just align. So when there's a queue like this, we just like this. But it's the truth. So we just stay to the gospel. No time. This one is too long. Let's see whether I can come like this. That
That's the cause of our problem. We've brought that mindset to the doctrine of salvation. Okay, Romans, Ephesians 5, verse 5 to 10. Let me do this in the Message translation. Salvation is not man's idea. It says, he took our sin dead lives and made us alive in Christ. Made us alive in Christ. You know that thing that is reigning in Nigeria that they call revival? That thing that, you know, there's a revival. That revival is salvation. No? Is that you were dead and you became alive. That's revival. No? You were revived back to life. From death to life. Revival is not the... Okay. Because we think that, you know, I need to... revival is the message of salvation. That's true revival. Somebody gets born again. That is the ultimate revival. What the believer needs is enlightenment. Knowledge. Paul never prayed for revival. You'll never find that thing in the New Testament. That's what I'm saying now. Pastor Yemi, it's not in the New Testament writ. You'll find it. You know, the epistles prayer. And Father, that you may revive us. Every time... but I'm not lying, no. If you find it, you can send it to me. I apologize next week, Sunday. I'm serious. You will find revival in the epistles. Every time you see revival in the epistles, he's talking about a dead man who came to Christ. So, sir, quickening. That's the word. Quickening. Okay. He says, he took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own. I want you to read carefully. With no help from what? Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in the company with Jesus and Messiah. Next verse. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in the world, and next to shower grace and kindness of, oh, glory to God. You see, Pastor, that's the response of salvation. You see, you now see why the writer of Hebrews says, why do you want to neglect so great a salvation? That's why you want to neglect this good deal. How do you look away from this? That he picked you up, fixed you, then set you in the place where you are there with Christ. Jesus, he now says saving. Somebody say saving. That saving there is salvation. Saving is all his. Can you see that? And all his. Salvation is not our work. It is his work. Let him work his work in your life. That's what we are saying. It's not our work. No. It's his work. It's all his idea and all his work. All we do, because you want to do something. Sister Dumebi, Brother Nicodemus, Brother Dunsi, you want to do something, yeah? All we do is trust him enough to let him. It's God's gift from what? Is this clear enough? That's what we do. And God is a wise God. Of course, so wise. Let's go. Now God has us name. He says, we don't play the major role. If we did, we'll probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. Yeah, that's the truth. So if God partnered with us with salvation, forget it. The noise that a lot of pastors will be making when he asks for a sacrifice, I sacrifice my wife. Yeah. I sacrificed my son. I gave him. I killed my son to the Lord. Do you have that uncle who once upon a time in your life gave you 50,000? Until today? If not for me, I said, see, they were good. I was going, okay, God. I stepped in. 50,000. I raised him. I made him who he is. That. Without me, he would have been dead. God knows that you and I are like that. So when he came to salvation matter, he says, I don't need your impute. Now, the thing is, even if he needed your impute is so useless. Because the wages of sin is not, I'm sorry, it's death. Now, your death is useless to your sin. You did not understand me. Now, even if they tell you to die for your sin, in Norwich, you go and die another die. You die well. That means if you love somebody so much, like your wife, your child, and the person messes up, you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to die for them. When you die, they will now kill your child too, because your death was even offensive. Because your death was a sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, so it was all his ideas from top to bottom. Salvation. Somebody say, I'm saved. Say it with, say, I'm saved. So when Hebrews 3:2 says, how shall we neglect this great salvation? Hebrews 2 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3. Is the intent there? Hebrews 2 verse 3. God, don't do this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So salvation is not just there. It's so great a salvation. That's the message of grace. Salvation. Salvation. So what is salvation? Let me give you, I made some slides so you, just to make it easy. First slide, please. Let me show you salvation. Salvation, soteria. Salvation is not giving my life to Jesus. It's rather accepting him into my heart. That's salvation. Because you have no life to give to him. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. So salvation is not I gave my heart to Jesus. It's I accepted Jesus into my heart. That's salvation. Is that I've received this gift by believing in his name. Let me tell you, not us. Those people who finally go to hell, when they finally see Jesus and see the plan, they'll just walk to hell. That's what I believe. You know how you, when you see the plan, it's okay. Because he made it so, it's so hard to go to hell. You have coconut head. He's just, I'm telling you, he's saying all you have to do is believe in what Jesus has done. He's not saying you have to do something. Believe in what Jesus has done. And the way to heaven is not narrow as in tight. The way to heaven is narrow to Jesus. Did you hear what I said? The way to heaven is not narrowed as in tight. The way to heaven is narrowed to Jesus. Oh my God. So when it talks, when the Bible says broad is the way and narrow is the way, it's not saying the road is so narrow, you have to be careful. No, no. It just means it is narrowed to Jesus. That without Jesus, you can get to heaven. When you say it's narrowed to this option, it means that there are options, but this is the real option. So when you say narrow is the way, it means Jesus is the way, because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the light. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Next, let me show you the next slide. I think I have 6 or 7. Salvation is deliverance from the power of sin, the penalties, and the judgment of sin. Salvation is deliverance from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and the judgment of sin. So we will not have to go through we're not going to go through the condemnation anymore. Why? Because we've been delivered from the power of sin. So salvation is not just the pardon, it's the power of sin. You're delivered from the power of sin. You're delivered from the penalties of sin. And you're delivered from the judgment of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift of God. Why do you think Jesus died for us? Jesus is the only person qualified to die for us. He had no human blood in his body. So you didn't need a sperm of man to get Jesus out. Once man's sperm entered that equation, sin has entered. Yeah, so God had to create a human species without Adam's problem to solve Adam's problem. Oh my God. Oh my, do you hear what I said? So God created a human species without Adam's problem to be able to deal with Adam's problem, because Adam cannot save Adam. That was the only way. So when he said in Genesis, the seed of the woman, that's where he lost. The devil left class. Seed of the woman. Women have egg, no seed. Devil left class and said, no, this one, I don't understand what you talk here. But the seed of the woman traveled down. God saw a virgin, made the virgin womb his changing room, born by the zeal of God to die for us. And the rest is history. That's the meaning of salvation. Third slide, let's go. Glory to God. Salvation is deliverance from eternal condemnation. Condemnation is not a feeling, it's a sentence. So when we talk about eternal condemnation, you feel like my heart was condemning me. No, no, no. I'm talking about a sentence from the court. Who's a lawyer here? Because the Bible is written in a lot of legal terms. So the condemnation there is not my heart was condemning me. It's the judge sentenced you. So when Paul was saying there is therefore now no condemnation, he's saying the sentence has been passed to everyone who is in Christ Jesus. Oh my God. Oh my God. Can you hear what I'm saying? He's saying that the sentence has been passed to. How can you miss this deal? Who do you like this? How do you miss this deal? John 3:16. For God sent not his word to 17. Sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has refused to believe in the name of the Son Jesus. So what takes people to hell is not their sin, is the rejection of Jesus. Nobody is in heaven because they did not sin. Nobody is in hell because they sin. Anybody in hell today is because they refused salvation. Anybody is in heaven is because they accepted Jesus. Find out from the thief on the cross. He didn't even ask God for forgiveness. The thief on the cross didn't say, "And Father, today, right here, right now, please forgive me." He just said, "Remember me today in your kingdom." Jesus said, that's all you need. Today, you will be with me in power. That's the end. I can imagine him showing up in heaven. "Hey, guy, what's up? Did you do LFC?" "No, that guy said I should come. That's all. That guy at the middle, when we're dying together, said I should come. The host said I should come. Did you do LDC? LDC, what's that?" "No, that guy said I should come. Did you ever give towards the conference and the building?" "No, that guy just said I should come." That is salvation. So to miss this and go to hell, it's sad. I'm very sure for them, I don't know because I will not be there, is that when they finally see Jesus and see the opportunity and how easy, they will just walk to hell by themselves. Because I'm serious. That will be it will be self-condemnation, because there will be no, it's too clear. The thief on the cross didn't even say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Samson dying didn't apologize to God. Say, "Father, I made you do small in my eyes. Father, it's Delilah. Father, it's Delilah. Father, you know. She showed me things. She showed me things that day I was weak. He said, "Father, avenge me for my enemies." What kind of prayer is that? So it's like they knew God more than us. Then that's a shame. Give me the next slide. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Salvation message is not heaven at last. It is heaven at first. Because when Jesus comes into your heart, heaven has come into your heart. That's the salvation message. Heaven has come into your heart. Jesus, let me ask you, Jesus or heaven, which one do you prefer? So if you now have Jesus, why do you think you won't have heaven? Except you are saying that thing of Jesus lives inside of you is a scam. You're not to believe him. Because if you say Jesus lives inside of you, I don't care how beautiful your house is, I don't want to go there without you. Once you are not there, it's not a life. Let me tell you, clean your house, lock it up and travel for 2 years, come back. You'll be shocked what will come out from your house. You now know that your being in the house is the life that the house has. I'm telling you, try it. Travel. Mop the house, like mop it very well. Clean it. Do it very well. Then lock it up. Lock the windows. Put extra cover that nothing can enter inside. Cover your doors. Come back 2 years. You'll be shocked how your house will look like. That things that will come out from inside the house, you will see tree, some of you, tree. Okra tree would have grown in your parlor. Yam, vegetables. Plantations full. You will see lizards side, snake corner, everything in your house. Why? Because you being in the house is the life that the house has. So it's the presence of Jesus that is life. Hiya! Oh God. The presence of Jesus is life. It's not. I don't want to be in any heaven where there's no Jesus there. It will be boring without Jesus. To be boring without Jesus. Now that this Jesus lives inside of you, why do you think it's heaven at last? See the scripture there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faded not and away and reserved in heaven for you. Give me this 1 Peter 3 to 4. Give me in the Message translation. Sorry, take the slides off. Give me 1 Peter 3 to 4 in the Message translation. Then give me Message when you're doing this slide for me for second service. I think I missed this. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4, Message. Glory to God. Tell anybody it's heaven at first. You see, Nigeria has a pious prayer, and Father, at the end of the day, we will not miss heaven. Now say amen. It looks like an ultimate prayer, my dear. He has raised us up together. And as, don't stress yourself, thank you very much. Assurance Day. He has raised us up together and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I didn't write it. I saw it. How do you know? English. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, the Father of our Master Jesus Christ. Watch this. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts now. With an exclamation. There's heaven inside of you. The reason you cannot miss heaven is when heaven comes, heaven is coming to take heaven back to heaven, because heaven cannot leave heaven behind. Glory to God. That's the salvation message. This is Peter, not Apostle Paul. This is Peter, Uncle P. Not Apostle Paul. He had grown. This is Peter, not Apostle Paul. Peter is saying that we know that this heaven starts now. Now. And by the way, nobody even preached eternal security more than John. I'll deal with that somewhere I'll teach it every time. Nobody preached eternal security more than John. Nobody. I'm telling you, nobody. Not even Apostle Paul went black and white with eternal, like John. Maybe the writer of the book of Hebrews. Yeah, but John, clearly, all that my Father has given to me, I cannot lose anyone. Paul, it's John. My sheep, they hear my voice. A stranger cannot take them. All that, he says, they're in my hands and I've given them to my Father. Two factor. Yes, it was John who told us that one. The love that you have given me, I've loved them back. It's John. So John was even more blunt than Apostle Paul. John that says, if anybody comes to your house to preach any message that is not of God, don't give him transport fare. Don't tell him, say, as you're going, God be with you, no. Say, if you tell him Godspeed, you are partaker of his problem. People are complaining about Apostle Paul. They've not read their Bible properly. So even if you remove Paul from there, you have not lost eternal redemption. That's how powerful Bible scholars understood what I just said. So even if you remove Pauline from the Bible, you have not lost eternal security. It's tied all over the scriptures. Okay, give me the next slide. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Salvation message doesn't make bad people good. It makes dead people live. That's the revival I was talking about. See Ephesians. And you, he quickened. Past tense. He quickened there is that he made alive. He revived. Who were dead in trespasses and what? And when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. What? You are saved. So you were dead and he brought you back to life. That's the message of salvation. It's not like I was bad and he made me good. No, I was dead and he gave me life. So that's the message of salvation. Are you understanding it? Give me the next slide. Glory to God. Salvation means I am not a continuation from Adam. I am now a new man in Christ. Hallelujah. Ooh, we'll drop the slides at the lounge later today. But are you seeing this? Therefore, if any man, Bible scholars have said Paul was shouting here. If any man be in Christ, he's not a renovation. He's not an upgraded version. He is a new creation. That's what the Bible says. Glory to God. That's the message of salvation. Hallelujah. That's the message of salvation. Okay, give me the next slide. Let's do this in a hurry. Salvation means you are born again, born of God, to die no more. Oh my God. Maybe second service will get this. Are you excited? Is that you are born again, born of God, to die no more. So the, can you, you know, there's nobody who was born again in the Bible that now died. You know, I think it was Pastor Larry who said it many years ago in one of our prayer meetings. The Bible says, he that believes in Christ has crossed from death to life. There's no scripture that says when you now do something, you will cross from life back to death. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And I've also asked, we are not asking, show me one person who lost his salvation in the Bible. One person. One person. Don't say Judas, so he was not born again. Don't do that. That's ignorance. Don't shout it. Judas was not born again. Don't say Demas. Demas has forsaken me. It means that Demas did not want to die. It don't mean that he left Jesus. It's that Demas and Paul went to preach one day and they beat Paul up that day. He did not see that coming. So the next day, he said, Paul, we done. It's not so okay now. It's today's just a bad day. It's okay. Okay, today's a bad day. The next day, Paul and Demas went to preach. This one, he was stoned. They stoned them. So the third day, Demas said, hey, I get a wife. So Demas left Paul. The Bible did not say Demas left Christ. Demas has forsaken me, not forsaking Christ. So Demas will lose reward, but not salvation. Stop it. Don't do that. Don't just spill the ignorance. Don't do it now. Some of them, they're even like balagba. I'm like, no, daddy. Daddy, don't do this now, daddy, don't say this. No. Demas, so, do you know the business Apostle Paul went through? Demas just said, he's like, it's like this guy like to die. No. I love my wife. I still get two young children. Because if you read the Bible properly, people think that Paul was not married. No. Because he was in the Sanhedrin. You can't be in the Sanhedrin and not married. So the wife left him. You can't be in the Sanhedrin because Paul gave his CV. You can't be in that company and you're not married. So when you see Paul living like that, at some point during the conversion, it's like the babe say, can't you see when he was talking about marriage, Paul the vex. When he say, they don't give him breakfast. You know, say, it's better not to be married, just live for Jesus. Because he has experience. Are you understanding this? This is a Bible church, I'm sorry. So we talk Bible. That's why I was saying that it's better not to be married. Live for Jesus. Leave woman alone. Leave that gender. Leave them. Because he gave it in don't see. And he don't collect. You know, you can't say, you know, the Bible shows that. He was in the Sanhedrin Council. You cannot be there and not married. So Paul was married before he met that great light, which is Christ on his way to Damascus. So when he came back, the babe not understand within the talk. Now, if Peter called Paul that, this boy is saying some things that are, how do you think Paul's wife felt? He was okay, you know what? So that's where he was talking from. Do you appreciate that? Is that you are not going to die. Tell your neighbor you can't die. Because you have eternal life. So believers, we sleep, we don't die. So painful death, painful exit is not a person who died young in Christ. It's your grandfather that died out of Christ. That's painful exit. That, because you know, a stillbirth is better than a life out of Christ. An old life out of Christ. No. I'm telling you the truth. Are you listening to me? Tell your neighbor, I die no more. Say it again, I die no more. I have eternal life. Come on, say it again, I have eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. Now, what this means? Oh, I got to go. Well, oh, sha. And we're just gist now. He's enjoying this gist too. Well, time has come now. Okay. Let me race to a close. You know, it is said that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's not salvation. No. As far as salvation is concerned, we are not the apple and it's the tree. We are the branch and it's the tree. I'm going somewhere with that. As far as salvation is concerned, we are not the apple that falls far from the tree, because that's disconnection. That's out. Thank you. That's out of life. Precise. We are not the apple that falls far from the tree. We are what? The branch. He is the tree and we are the branches. Isaiah 61 verse 3. Let me show you something. What is wrong with you? Behave yourself in Jesus' name. Isaiah 61 verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called what? I don't like the way you guys talk. I know you're hungry this morning, but you can speak. One, two, three, go. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. When the Bible says in Psalms that those that are transplanted in the house of the Lord, you see that? It's not planted. Those who are that means you were planted somewhere else, but God transplanted you. And then you flourish because you are nourished and the devil not rich. You understand? So that's it. Yeah. But that's the truth. It's that you're not out. You are in sync. Tell your neighbor, I have the nature of God. Say it loud, I have the nature of God. The salvation message means you are no more a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And stop praying those prayers. You know we are all sinners. Please speak for yourself. Because in your mind you think that's being pious, that's being humble. No, that's you being arrogant and rejecting what Christ has done for you. If God calls you righteous, you better start calling yourself righteous. Maybe you better start seeing yourself as righteous. Tell your neighbor, my nature has changed. Oh, come on, say, my nature has changed. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. Peter, try. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. I'm showing you. According as his divine power hath given unto us things, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to what? Next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Say, I have the divine nature of God. Come on, say it out. I have the divine nature of God. Say, I have the divine nature of God. That means I have the DNA of God inside of me. That's what salvation is. Is that you are born of God. E.W. Kenyon said something that has stayed with me. He said, a denomination is known by what it says about salvation. What it says about the new birth. About what it says about salvation. Be careful who you listen to. Please, before they start praying miraculous prayer, find what they are teaching. Because teaching reveals where they are. Very important. Say, I have the divine nature. Romans 5 verse 18 to 20 message. Romans 5, 18 to 20. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into what? One man said no to God and put many people in wrong. One man said yes to God and put many people in right. Verse 19, let's go. All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and does not have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call what? When it comes to sin versus grace, grace wins what? All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Are you listening to me? So you don't have that sin nature again. You have the life of God inside of you. You have the life nature. You have the nature of God. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I say you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, every time you start preaching salvation, people just jump to Romans chapter 6. But this is Romans chapter 5. 5 precedes 6, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before you get to 6. So Paul had established this in chapter 5 first. That you don't have that nature anymore. You have the life of God. You have the divine nature. Sin cannot win over grace. Can you see this scripture? What's wrong with this guy today? Sin can... Are you seeing that in scripture? Consistently, Paul dealt with that. But they just jump to Romans chapter 6. But the Bible says, shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in sin? So let's go to Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? It's brighter grammar that is your problem. Shall we continue in sin, not continue to sin? He was still talking about nature. He didn't say, shall we continue to sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. That God forbid is not to fiakwa. God forbid, there is impossible. God has stopped it. Are you understanding me? So when you read God forbid, remove that your mother's exclamation of tufiakwa, that God forbid. No, that's not what Paul is saying here. They didn't know how to do this thing then. No. The Bible cannot mean to you today what it did not mean to his original audience. Are you listening to me? God forbid there is not tufiakwa over my dead body. God forbid there is, God has stopped it. It's impossible. So he's saying, shall we continue in the same nature of sin? So that, no, he said, no, those of us who are not in Maitama, how can we be found in Asokoro? Because we're already in Lagos. We have left that city. That's what Paul was saying. We have left that city of sin. We're in a new city. Give me the next translation, 1 and 2. TLB. Well then, shall we keep on sinning so that God can keep on showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Next verse. See that? Of course not. That's what he means. Should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and we were baptized to become part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature, the power of your sinful nature was what? Tell your neighbor, I'm not a sinner. Say it loud. Say, I'm not a sinner. Even if they have the video of what you did last night, say, I'm not a sinner. Say it loud. I am not a sinner. It's not a humble thing. You know, we are all sinners. You know, when you talk with your friends at work, you know, we are all sinners now. You don't say, yes, so we are all sinners. So, you know, now God just help us. No! Don't add me to it. You people are sinners. I am no longer a sinner. Say, we are sinners saved by grace. Choose one. You are either saved by grace or you are a sinner. Thank you. Choose one. What I'm saying is that I was drowning. The lifeguard got me out. Now that I'm out, I'm no more drowning. I may still have the water in my belly that I will need to pee out, exercise out, sweat out, but I'm no longer in the pool of sin. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The lifeguard got me out when he died for me. Died as me. And when he was buried, I was buried with him. When he resurrected, I resurrected with him. Now I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. I'm far above principalities and powers. If this is your reality, shout amen, somebody. So, be guided. You're not a sinner. And maybe when we start acknowledging this, we'll start behaving properly. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. No. I'm not a sinner. Bad as he bad. No, I'm not a sinner. This thing should get you excited. You know, yesterday I was just walking. And I just started getting excited. I'm like, ah, who sent me money? I said, oh, salvation. I'm saved. I'm serious. Practically yesterday, I was in my car just walking. And I just said, why am I excited? I said, oh, wow, I'm saved. That means it's sure for me. At the blast of the trumpet, anytime, anywhere, I am with Jesus because he's in me and I'm in him. You can't buy this one with money. That's what they call the joy of salvation. The joy. You know, God was speaking to me recently. I'm like, there's nothing about this, our faith, that is not joyful. You know, when they teach about holiness, holiness looks very ugly. The Bible calls it the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. So you can't teach holiness and not be beautiful. You see, you know, really. The beauty of his holiness, and you are looking like Mount Zion that cannot be moved, but that abided forevermore. And you call that holiness. Holiness is beautiful. It's beautiful. And you don't have to globalize everything that should be privatized to be beautiful. Holiness is beautiful because you are covered by the glory of God. Knowing that he was naked on the cross, you cannot be naked. He was naked for you. Two of you cannot be naked. One nakedness do for all of us. So, now they compete with Jesus. He was naked for you. So, it's substitution, yes. It was naked that you may be clothed, but you have pulled your clothes to be naked. No, don't be naked with him. Somebody was naked for all of us. Don't join him in the nakedness. Okay? It's all right. Okay? Okay? Tell the neighbor, wear your clothes, eh? Thank you. They come to second service. I'm waiting for them. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Anywhere I stop, we'll continue next week now. Are you learning something? Is this good? Okay. Actually, love faith service. It flows, really. Second service, I used to walk. when you come like this, you are ready to receive. Second service, I think the dressing, in the part of the dressing, they would have lost some attention to the spirit. Even today, you are receiving better. Be coming to first service. Second service is too full. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, give me the next translation. I love this verse. When someone becomes a Christian, this one is very easy. He becomes inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. That is the salvation message. That I'm brand new inside. Brand new inside. It doesn't change your skin. Yeah? But your the glory from within is strong. And that thing does not fade. Does not fade. It's inside. It's bringing life. Someone saw me say, people, I thought you said you were stressed, the conference. See, you look better. I'm like, this is the glory of God. That's what glory does. That's what salvation message does. It makes you glow from within. You have a better self-esteem of who you are. You don't just jump around with somebody who can mess you up, abuse you, and you are just stay there because it's okay. For what? I know who I am. Give me the next translation. Glory to God. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. Entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh. I'm a fresh boy. God. The man in Christ is always fresh. Tell the neighbor, I'm a fresh boy. Louder, say, I'm a fresh boy. The man in Christ is always fresh. Fresh boy. Fresh. Glory to God. So you don't have that nature anymore. I say you don't have that nature anymore. You have Christ inside of you. Glory to God. I say you don't have the nature anymore. You have Christ inside of you. Oh, another very powerful verse. Give me this in message. You have it in message. Message says, now we look inside and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. It's created new. The old life is gone. The new life emerges. Look at it. Pay attention to the new life. Verse 21 says, oh, 21, for he made him to be seen, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My dear, your nature changed. Start behaving in alignment with your true nature. Your nature changed. Give me this in another translation. God made the only one who did not know sin. Yeah? To become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of you. I like this one. He did not know sin, he became sin. You and I did not know righteousness to become righteous. So I don't have to know righteousness or do righteous to become righteous. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because he did not know sin. He did not do sin to become sin. I don't have to do righteous to become righteous. It's just nature. The Spirit of God was asking me, what did your son do to be a son this morning? I can't think calm. I say, is there something he did? He said, no. It's what you did that made him a son. What did your son, this morning, what did your son do to become a son? I said, perhaps. No. It was what I did that made him a son. So what do you do to become righteous? No. It's what he has done that makes you righteous. So you just need to keep acknowledging, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, I say hallelujah. Give me the next translation. I think I could message. How? You ask, in Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did wrong, that we could be right with him. He punished Jesus for us. He gave him, He carried our nature on the cross. Glory to God. The last translation is my favorite. God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Glory to God. Nod your neighbor one more time. Say, I have a new nature. Say it again, I have a new nature. Say it louder, I have a new nature. But P-Flow, there are people who, in spite of this new nature, they will, you know, that's why we need to change the message, because, you know, after a while, they will not take this message for granted. You need to create something else that can deal with them, that can show them that, no, I say, okay, beautiful. What does the Bible say concerning such people? 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 9. KJV message, TPT. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? And to virtue what? And to knowledge what? And to temperance what? And to patience what? Oh my God. And to godliness what? And to brotherly kindness what? And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that? Take it back to 8. That means 8. It means that anybody who has added all of these things, you know, faith, this, add, it makes you fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? It now says, next verse, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged. Is that the person does not know that you have a new nature. So how do you help the person who's behaving like that? You keep showing them that, oh, Oga, you have a new nature. You are still in the old OS. We've moved, though. It's a new system. Update. Know ye not. Thank you. Know ye not. That's how Paul corrected Corinthians church. Know ye not. No, that means it's because you do not know. That's why you are behaving like this. Give me verse 9 in the other translation. Just verse 9 in the other translations. I think you have message and TPT. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you. Oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. That means you're acting out of character. Let me show you where that came from. You're acting a script. That's not the character you're supposed to be playing now. So you're acting out of character. And the script is in the Bible. It's called the scripture. That you are acting like the old guy. God is saying, no, now you are now the actor. Don't act like a victim. Act like the boss. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's what it means. Give me the next translation. But if anyone lacks these things, he is blind, constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith and forgetting his innocence. For his past sins have been what? Washed away. All your sins have been forgiven. I said, all your sins have been forgiven. Let me go to the last point. So if I can do this and close. Jesus, my God. Okay. All right. Just we'll move from there. One thing about salvation is that you are sealed. I need to deal with that quickly. Ephesians 1 verse 13 to 14, you are sealed. You are sealed. What is a seal? What is a seal to you? What does a seal mean to you? Does a seal mean something like endorsement, a stamp, identity, authorization? It means it cannot be used. I'm saying to you, your life has been sealed. You are set apart. What I'm saying to you, by salvation, your life is no longer for sale. Oh, you're not hearing me. Somebody already paid for this life you are living. Nobody can take it. Your life is not for sale. The Bible says, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after you believed what? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God sealed it with the Holy Spirit. Can I explain that sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Is that you were given an engagement ring. That's the picture. That's the picture. Knowing that your groom is coming, he's going to get you. You can't stay here forever. You have been marked. Your life is not for sale. When you start praying deliverance prayer, you don't understand this scripture. If you understand this scripture, no power. You won't drag Jesus, babe. Did they worry you? You have been marked by the blood of Jesus. When I used to go to the market one time with my mom to buy stuff, so you're buying tomatoes, you're buying this Oba market. I can never forget. So you buy yam. And because we can't take the yam, at that time we bought it, because she has to go and buy tomatoes and other things, they will take one white chalk. Sometimes it's blue. And they will mark the yam down. And what they are saying to anybody who's coming to the shop is that this one's... Are you understanding what I'm saying? And then we pay for it. But we go without carrying it, because we need to do some other things. That's what Jesus did. Oh my God. When he died for you and you accepted Jesus, you were marked, sealed with the Holy Ghost. So he's saying, I'm leaving and I am definitely coming to get you back. Woo! Oh my God. So he sealed you with his Holy Ghost. So it doesn't matter who's selling. They can't close shop because somebody's coming to take this guy. What I'm saying to you is that you have been sealed with the Holy Ghost. You have been marked. No power of hell can contend for your life. Lift your hands in the name of Jesus. Say it loud in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, my life is not for sale. I have been sealed by the Holy Ghost. I am marked by the Holy Ghost. No power of hell can take my life. No power of hell can take my life, because I'm sealed by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Say, Satan, hear me well. I have been sealed by the power of the Holy Ghost. My life cannot be cut short. My life is not for sale. Greater is Jesus that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon fashioned against me will be able to prosper, because I am sealed. Shout it, I'm sealed. One more time, I'm sealed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. Sit. You're sealed. You're sealed. Ephesians now says to us, oh my God, I don't have time. Ephesians says to us, Ephesians 4 verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. That's what the Ephesians says. So your grieving doesn't unseal the sealing. It didn't say grieve not the Holy Ghost lest you are unsealed. Did you see the scripture? It said whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. So the day that seal has any problem is redemption. No, this thing is preaching eternal salvation here, right here in front of you, that you are sealed to the day of redemption. It didn't say if you grieve him, you unseal him. No. Your grieving doesn't unseal the sealing, because you are sealed to the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have the nature of God, salvation. You have the seal of the Spirit. Let me just do one thing and I'll go. John chapter 15. There are too many things to deal with. I'll do next up. John 15:1-6. John 15:1-6. Glory to God. You have the nature of God in you. And then we'll close from here. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Next verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. My God. They dealt with me with this scripture. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that he may bring forth fruit. Keep it like that. Verse 2. Told you now. If you are not fruitful, he will cut you off. Say, anybody here in this church, you're not bringing forth fruit, the Bible says, it taketh away. They cut you off. And this is where the DJs used to preach. You can lose your salvation because you are not fruitful. God. Like God with a cutlass just waiting for you. This is what I preach. And it's lack of understanding, because English is not the primary translation of the Bible. The word taketh away there is aireo. Aireo is not to cut off. Aireo is to lift up. Give me this in TPT. 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 He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches. TPT. So he lifts. So when you're unfruitful, what the salvation work does? It lifts you up. Salvation doesn't leave you halfway. Salvation stays with you because it's able to save to the uttermost. By lifting up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a great harvest. That's what TPT shows you. He lifts the fruitful, the ones who are not bearing fruit. So God doesn't cut you off for being fruitless, because he saves what? To the uttermost. I need to read it to you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Glory to God. Are you excited about that? That he's never going to cut you off. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Give me this in the next translation, quickly. Quickly. Therefore, he's able also to save to the uttermost. Watch this. Completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he's always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. That's what the Bible says. That's salvation. God will never leave you halfway. He will be with you to the end of the road. He will stay with you. He is faithful. The Bible says the angel wrestled with Jacob to the breaking of the morning. That means he didn't leave Jacob like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. He'll wait for you. He'll stay with you. That's the power of salvation. He'll work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the power of salvation. And you're delivered from destruction by salvation. Simple message of salvation. Her name is, you know her, Rahab. She's the harlot. She's known. Her office is on the fence of Jerusalem. So she was doing both local and international match. You understand? She was the harlot. She was a known harlot in the city. But the spies were sent to check on the land. And Rahab saw the spies and believed in the God of the spies. For neither is there salvation in any other name than the name of Jesus. And accepted the spies. They stayed in her house, hid them in her roof. And then as they were leaving the next morning, deceived the whole city that they should go, that the spies have gone. Just chase them, you, that you may catch them. When they went right, I believe she brought the spies down and said, you have to go left. Yeah? And took the scarlet rope and put it on her fence and said, this is how you live. But as we're leaving, she had to deal with the spies. Hey, guys, come. I believe in this, your God. And I know destruction is coming upon the city. Everybody's afraid. How do I secure my family? The spies didn't say behave well. The spies just said, put the scarlet rope on this window on that day. Then the spies said to her, get your father's family, your mother's family, your cousins, even if you have customer, I'm sure. Whoever enters into this house, salvation enters into this house. The day that destruction is going to come on this city, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come nigh you. Rahab says, deal. On that day, she had the scarlet rope, which signifies the blood of Jesus. Salvation. Salvation. It's all his idea and all his work. All we do is believe in him. And they'd have come to God and locked up in Christ forever. And she put, you know the story, put the scarlet thread. The Bible says the city fell to the left and to the right. Everybody in Rahab's house survived. Can you imagine the promiscuity of salvation? This woman is the harlot. She's not the best behaved in city. She's not the faithful wife. She is the harlot. So it doesn't matter who you are. Salvation can reach you if you are available to receive Jesus. So somebody can be in their self-righteousness and have refused Jesus and we have condemnation. I will say it again. Your self-righteousness without receiving Jesus, you have condemnation. But this one has received Jesus. Do you know what God said to me? You cannot good yourself out of hell. You know that nature of sin. You cannot good yourself out of the nature of sin. That means you are in sin right now. And the only way to get out of sin acts is that neither is there salvation in any other name, any other way but Jesus. So now that you are in, the person is in sin, there is no amount of charity or good behavior you can do to good your way out of sin. Are you listening to me? In the same way, now that you are in Christ and you are totally locked up in Christ, there is no mistake you can make to mistake your way back into hell. That's the power of salvation. But salvation changes people. Because salvation is not behavior modification. It's inner transformation. It's not behavior modification. It's inner transformation. And the transformation is high time the transformation started speaking in our lives. It's high time we started talking about the transformative power of the gospel of God's grace. There must be something in your life that you've been hearing this gospel of God's grace for a year or two, some of you 3 years now, that people should say, no, no, she has changed. No, she's no longer like this. She's like this. There must be evidence to show, because Rahab, she had evidence to show. This woman finally gave birth to our Jesus. That's the grandmother of Jesus. If they wrote the Bible properly by Nigerian women, though, it would have come from maybe Queen Esther, one very... But this prostitute, that's what she, you know... And if I'm going to be mischievous, she was a prostitute. That's why grace is very promiscuous. But it's whosoever. So what I'm showing you today, that salvation is in Christ Jesus. It's not in any other formula. Any other good formula without Jesus is a waste of time. Because I'm sure you had better women in Rahab's time. But this is the prostitute of the city. Your office is not, it's at the city gate. That's why when they said men enter the city, the king said, go and meet Rahab. Yeah. Even the king knows, say, if they know, nah, Rahab. They know, they didn't know, nah, Rahab. See, they went to Rahab. They didn't, and the Bible said, and they were moving around houses. No, they just go, Auntie Ray, come. Ray. She get dealings with men regularly. And she didn't deny. Say, yes, they came, but they have gone. But she hid them in the roof of the house. And this is the message of the gospel. But there's something Joshua said in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Very powerful. Put it there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22. Joshua 6, 22. Glory to God. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring her thence the woman. She was no longer a prostitute. She was no longer a prostitute. Go into the house of the harlot and bring out the woman and all that she hath, and she that as ye swear unto her. So they went into the house of the harlot. They didn't bring the harlot. They brought out the woman. Salvation comes into your house and doesn't describe you with everything that you are, but brings you out of that house. That's salvation. You're brought out of that house into another house. It's repentance. You're brought out of that house and you get back to the house you fell from, the penthouse you fell from. People of God, you're no longer that girl. You're no longer that guy. Salvation is here. Christ lives inside of you. So stop acting like that. Stop dressing like that. Stop speaking like that. Stop hanging around like that. Because salvation is inside of you. And there's salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. Were you blessed this morning? Are you excited that you were saved? Are you excited that you were really saved? And Christ lives inside of you. And nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's all I have for you this morning. Glory to God. Clap your hands, church. Give God praise. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Come on and say hallelujah. Everyone remain standing. Let's give so we can close.